Good morning, and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I hear those readings this morning and feel like, wow, maybe we're in for a doozy. Sin and injustice. Hearts hardened by sin. Ears that can't hear the voice of God. Perhaps we are in for it today. Today, I'm primarily going to focus on this encounter that we find in the Gospel of Mark. One that we often hear referred to as the story of the rich young ruler. An encounter that's also found in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. In my prayer for this morning, and I ask you to make it your prayer as well, if you would, is that as we explore the text today, our ears would be open to hear the voice of God. That our hearts would be sensitive to his touch, and that God would give us the courage, the boldness, and the trust to respond to his word in faith. And so today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Let's pray. Lord, may your Spirit prepare our hearts to receive your word today. Lord, may we know your great love for us and the incredible riches of the invitation you extend to us to be your disciple. Amen. Now, here's the wild thing about today, is that I actually know what God is going to say to you today. I know. Brenda, I know. I know what God's going to say to you. You know, Nikki, I know. I know what God's going to say to you today. He's going to say, follow me. He's going to extend to you the invitation to be his disciple, to listen and learn, to be shaped and molded and transformed by the Holy Spirit. That the Spirit would work in our lives to form us more and more into the likeness of Christ. The words of Jesus for us today, follow me. And the thing that our particular text asks us to do, if we're willing, is to consider what might be standing between us and following Jesus with our whole hearts. So let's get into the text. In this event from the life of Jesus, we see a man who has come to be known as the rich young ruler. Derived from details revealed about him in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we learn that he was young, that he was well off, that he was a member of the political class, a person with authority and power, who seems to have climbed the ladder of success well at a young age. Now, this picture on the screen is one of the first pictures that came up when I Googled rich young ruler. And it's from the website BibleInfo.com and a little article about this text. And I think it's kind of telling. Maybe it tells us a little bit something about ourselves too. Because I think there's a temptation to make the association between the rich young ruler that maybe he was greedy or filled with selfish ambition, like this guy sitting in a bathtub raining money on himself for some reason. And yet every indication from the text of the three gospel accounts is that he was sincere in his pursuit of God and of holiness. He came to Jesus and he falls on his knees. This political leader, this wealthy man falling on his knees before Jesus, a position of humility publicly. And he says, good teacher, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And we're very used to hearing in the Gospels You know, the religious elites, the powerful, come to Jesus with trick questions, hoping to bait him into saying something wrong, inappropriate, or even blasphemous so that they can play gotcha in public. But from all we can tell from the text, this is not one of those instances. This is not one of those cases. From what we can tell, he honestly wants to know. And I think that's important because, honestly, who among us doesn't want to know? Who hasn't wondered what happens after we die? Maybe even closer to home. What will happen to me when I die? How do I know that eternal life is in my future? This young man wants to know, and he thinks that perhaps Jesus has an answer, a better answer than the ones he's been told so far. And I want to encourage you, if you're here today and you're not sure about the answer to that question, to consider that Jesus might have the answer. I would encourage you to explore what Jesus says, maybe even to connect with a Christian friend and work your way through one of the Gospels together. Talk it through, explore the words of Jesus, and perhaps you will see in it what billions of people throughout history have seen. That there is no one else to whom we can go because he has the words of eternal life. And so this man asks Jesus, and Jesus answers. He says, you know the commandments. Of course he knows the commandments. Jesus lists them off. And the man says the boldest thing I've ever heard anybody say, which is, I've done all of them since I was a boy. I've done it all. And after that comes the verse that I think we're most likely to glaze over. The verse that if you were to go home and retell this story to somebody later today from memory, it's the one that I think you might have forgotten if I wasn't about to make such a big deal about it. An indispensable phrase to the text. Because if we leave it out, what we might hear is condemnation. But when it is there, what you might hear is the good news of Jesus Christ. It says this, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Now you can imagine the pregnant pause in the conversation, perhaps. That look in Jesus' eyes that says, you know, if you've done it all already, then why are you here? Why are you asking me? Are you expecting to hear something different than what everyone else has told you? Jesus looks at him and loves him. And then in love, Jesus tells this man what's perhaps the most difficult thing he's ever heard. And every word of it is out of an incredible love and an invitation into the rich grace of our God. One thing you lack, Jesus said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And then you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. And I think it's easy for us, when we hear some of the more difficult teachings of Jesus, some of those commands of Christ, it's easy for us, easy for me, to hear them come at me in a tone of disapproval. Of disappointment or disgust, of condemnation. as if the point of the teaching is to catch us off guard, to catch us doing wrong and condemn us for it. But Jesus isn't saying this because he wants him to be discouraged. He does not want to see him fail. This man comes to Jesus in sincerity, falling on his knees. Teacher, what do I need to know? What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus tells him the exact thing he needs to hear. He says, you need to lay down the thing that is ruling over your life. The thing that leads and guides you, that motivates and influences you, that shapes the way you live, the way you think, and the way you act. You need to lay it down. And Jesus did not want to crush his spirit. He wanted to set it free. Free from being lorded over by the allure of wealth and status. Jesus says something similar in another place. He says, you can't serve God and money. The loving voice of Jesus is saying, lay it down and you will have treasure in heaven. Lay it down and you will get so much more in return. Now, I've had an experience in my own life that God has used to teach me how to trust him more in this way. About a decade ago, I was really into mountain biking and rock climbing. Those were kind of my big hobbies. Those were the things that I loved to do. And when I had free time, that's what I was doing. I loved being outdoors and the thrill of a good ride. I loved the adrenaline rush of topping out on a new route that I had never done before. Perhaps even one that partway up, I thought, I don't know if I'm making this or not. I loved it. And if you had told me at that time that a time was coming where you would sell your bike, you'd sell your climbing gear, and you wouldn't do those things again for years, probably would have met it with quite a bit of sadness. I couldn't have envisioned stopping doing the things that I loved. And then my first daughter, Avery, was born. And I realized that not only was it unrealistic to think that I could keep going and spending an entire day out at Castle Rock or half a day on a long mountain bike ride, but I also realized that those things were not important to me like they used to be. I realized that the joy I got from those things was nothing compared to the blessing that God had given me and my own kids. In a very real way, God taught me to lay those things down, and he gave me something so much better. I'm not all that worried about mountain biking anymore. I'm worried about other things, but God taught me in this that even when I can't see how, it is possible to put something down that feels important, something that I loved, and receive something in return that is far better. And it taught me to trust that he can do it again. And he has shown me over and over and over again that he truly can. See, the loving voice of Jesus calls this rich young ruler to lay down his riches, not because it's money, but because it's in the way. It's preventing him from hearing and responding to the voice of God in faith. It's hardening his heart, blinding his eyes, stopping up his ears so that he can't see and he will not hear and he doesn't trust what is possible through Christ. And the same question comes to us today. What is in the way of giving Jesus your whole heart? Now, if Jesus were to come to you today and have that same conversation, What do you think he might ask you to leave behind, to lay down and follow him? That verse I read earlier, you can't serve both God and money. It's Matthew 6:24. And the truth is, I think there are probably a lot of ways that you could fill in the blank there. Because it's not about Jesus wanting your money. He wants your heart. And he wants all of it. He's not interested in divided loyalty. The call to follow Jesus is the same over and over and over again throughout the scriptures. And it isn't to a lukewarm commitment. It is to a die to yourself, pick up your cross kind of discipleship. Jesus is not your co-pilot. He's your Lord and your Savior. And if Jesus is your co-pilot, he's in the wrong seat. Jesus didn't say, what I really want is for you to think of me as a pretty wise person and to consult me when it suits you. He didn't say, come to church 2 or 3 times a month and you will have treasure in heaven. He said, sell everything you have and follow me. That's what he said to the rich young ruler. Leave behind those things and follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven. To Peter, Andrew, James, and John, he said something very similar. He said, leave behind your nets, and I will teach you to fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. To the tax collector, Levi, he said, follow me. And Levi got up, left everything at the tax booth, and followed Jesus. And yet we all have those spaces in our lives that we create where we are comfortable if Jesus stays there. You know, Jesus gets Sunday morning. Maybe even gets sometime midweek for Bible study or small group. But then there are other things, other times, other places that we reserve for ourselves that influence and shape the way we think and live. And sometimes there are places that, if we're being honest, we reserve for our sin rather than for Christ. And when we do that, it hardens our hearts. We cling to the things of this world and then don't have hands free to receive what Jesus offers. You see, the challenge of Jesus is to lay those things down and follow him. But the gift of Jesus is so much greater. The gift of Jesus is that he gives himself, his entire self, wholly and without reservation to sinners like us. He gives a body broken and blood shed so that we could be set free, forgiven, redeemed, saved, and made whole. And it is into that reality, the reality that we so often put things on the throne of our lives that are worldly things. And that throne is reserved for Jesus Christ and for Christ alone. Jesus comes to us in a voice of love, not of condemnation or disgust, and says, leave those behind and follow me. And you will have treasure in heaven. And what this is, it's not a promise of a false prosperity gospel. You know, tithe 10% and God will give you 15 back. That's not what this is. It's the promise of the abundant grace, the immeasurable love of Christ as he gives himself to us. And as we make him the center, the things that we value begin to change. The things that we think are important, that are worthy of our time, our money, our effort, our love, our commitment, they all change. Jesus calls that new life. and abundant life. And he offers it to us as he says, follow me. And so let's ask the question again. What's in the way of Jesus having your whole heart? If he came to you today, what would he ask you to lay down, to leave behind, and to follow him? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. The rich young ruler did. He wanted to hear, but he wasn't ready to listen. What about you? Amen.